The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Gospel of Grace podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. We would love to have you worship with us in person sometime. The church address is 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m.
In this powerful sermon, Elder Buddy Abernathy begins by teaching us about the truth of God's Word and its authority in our lives. Then he turns to a particular topic that is mostly rejected by the world, biblical parenting. Please join us as we learn how the Bible teaches that we should parent our children.
I want to begin tonight by looking at some scriptures that emphasize the importance of the Word of God and how it is absolute truth. It is the final authority. It is without error. It is inspired. It's preserved. And it will always be the best standard as to how we live our lives and form our moral values. And then I want to, with that in mind, make application to an area of life which is addressed by the Word of God but is for the most part rejected by the world today. You know, there are several or perhaps many subjects in the Bible that the world has determined are outdated and no longer the best method to use. And I want to look at one of those subjects tonight. But let's first of all consider Psalm 12, verses 6 and 7. Psalms 12, verses 6 and 7. The words of the Lord are pure words. That says that the individual words that make up the collective Word of God as a whole are pure words. It's not enough to say that the Bible in a general way is inerrant. This says that the words that make up the collective Word are inerrant words. We believe that the King James Version is God's preserved word in English. I don't claim to be an expert, but I've done enough research to come to that conclusion that this is the Word of God. It's an unadulterated translation of the inspired Word of God for English-speaking people. The words of the Lord are pure words. And then, notice what he says, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times, thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. So the words that make up the Word of God are pure words. And God said that He would keep them, He would preserve them from this generation forever. So we believe that, as Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It was inspired of God. And it would be of little value if God inspired it, but he didn't preserve it. Why, if what we had before us tonight was a corrupted version of the inspired Word of God, then it would be unreliable. But this says that he will keep them. He will keep the words that make up the Word, and he will preserve them from this generation forever. Psalm 117 and verse 2. Psalm 117 and verse 2 says, "For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever." Notice that. The truth of the Lord endureth forever. Psalm 100 verse 5 says, "For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." So put those two together. The truth of the Lord endureth forever. The truth of the Lord endureth to all generations. So that applies to us tonight, doesn't it? We have the inspired Word of God, and he's preserved it down to our generation tonight. John 17 and verse 17. Jesus prays to the Father, and he says, "Sanctify them," that means set them apart. "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." To sanctify means to set apart. In other words, the truth of Scripture, when implemented in our lives, when it is obeyed, our lives, the way we live, the morals we have, sets us apart from the ungodly world in which we live. So Jesus says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Now look at Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20. "To the law," that is with regard to the law, "to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." Now the Bible has very low tolerance for philosophies that do not agree with Scripture. And we need to maintain that attitude today in all areas of our life, to the law and to the testimony. That is, with regard to or in light of Scripture, in light of God's Word, if what you're hearing people say, if what they speak is not according to this Word, it is because there's no light in them. Amen. I don't want to be led by someone that has no light. And you know, we've often mentioned, especially young people in school and in college, when you have those that speak not according to this word, which advance ideas that are immoral in the light of the Scriptures, he says, if they speak that way, it's because they themselves have no light. They have no understanding. They're in the dark with regard to their understanding and their philosophies. And then look at Psalm 119, verse 128. In light of everything we've said, this should reflect our attitude. Psalm 119, verse 128 says, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Now, can you say that of yourself? When it comes to God's word, when it comes to my ideas, which may not be in agreement with God's word, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things, anything the Bible addresses about life. I esteem God's precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. And every false way is any way that is not in agreement with His precepts. If the way I am living, if the way I'm thinking is, if I'm brought to realize that it's contrary to the Word of God, I'm going to start hating that way, and I'm going to esteem His precepts concerning everything to be right. Again, the Bible doesn't grant much tolerance for ways that are not in alignment with God's truth. We need to align our thinking with God's word. I believe it was Peter that said, He hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. The Bible doesn't teach you technical skills, but it teaches you everything you need to know about how to live life. He hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And then I believe it's Romans chapter 3 verse 4 where it says, Let God be true and every man a liar. Again, the Bible gives very little tolerance. In fact, it gives none. There's no tolerance, no compromise. Whatever you may hear out there, whatever you may be reading in a magazine, whatever you may be thinking, let God's word be true. It is true, but He's saying that that's the attitude you're to have, to esteem the word of God. Let God be true and every man a liar. That is, anything any man says that's contrary to the Bible, you go ahead and conclude in your mind, that man is a liar. That doesn't mean you can't associate with him in any way, but it does call for caution, doesn't it? Maybe the Lord will use you to persuade him to see the truth, but in time you'll find out whether that's a goal you can have or not, or whether he's someone you need to just stay away from. Let God be true and every man a liar. Then in Jeremiah 6:16, it says, Stand ye in the ways, and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. There are many ways to go. Many different lifestyles that can be lived. But He says, stand in the ways. He didn't say just start running down a road. He said, stand. Stand in the ways, plural, and see and ask for the old paths. That means the paths that are outlined by God's word. See and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. So many of God's people don't have rest because they're not walking in the old paths. Where is the good way? And we have an example of that here in Jeremiah, just a few chapters over. First of all, you'll notice at the end of the verse I just quoted, it says, But the people said, We will not walk therein. But look over in chapter 18 and verse 15. He says, because my people hath forgotten me, they have burned incense to vanity, and they have caused them to stumble in their ways from the ancient paths, to walk in paths in a way not cast up. Notice here's an example of people not implementing what they were instructed to by the Lord himself when he said, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. Here it says, they have forgotten me. Burned incense to vanity, caused them to stumble in their ways from the ancient paths. Evidently, here he lets us know that they had one time had walked in the old paths, because you can't stumble from the ancient paths unless you had at one time walked in those paths. So I've read to you a number of scriptures that state emphatically that God's word is intolerant of every other way. And we need to therefore see and ask for the old paths. Now, with that in mind, I want us to consider one particular subject that I believe there's a great need for teaching on today. You know, I never do form or decide on what I'm going to preach based on who I know is going to be there. But all of my grandchildren are here tonight. I'm concerned about their future. The Bible gives parents clear directions. And I want us to consider a few of those scriptures tonight in the book of Proverbs. And the book of Proverbs is a book of principles, things that work in life. And should it be any surprise that God's inspired word is what will work in life? So let's just establish a few principles here tonight. Let's begin with Proverbs chapter 22, verse 15. Here it says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. You know, I oftentimes look things up on Google, and it can be a good resource sometimes. You know, if I have a particular question about a Bible verse, now that they have Google artificial intelligence, which pulls together the best information supposedly about that particular question, and a lot of times I get some good information. But I found in this area I didn't get any good information. And I'm just going to read to you the response I got. And see, the problem is, no doubt a lot of young people read this and they think, well, that's what the experts have to say, then that must be right. Here's the question that I asked. Does using a switch to discipline a child cause psychological damage? Yes. Extensive research shows that using a switch or any form of physical punishment to discipline a child can cause significant and lasting psychological damage. Mental health and child development experts overwhelmingly agree that it is harmful and ineffective for long-term behavior change. Let God be true and every man a liar. But this is the answer you'll get. I asked it several different ways. Every time they said yes, it's harmful. This is not something you want to do. And yet the Bible starts out saying, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Now let's try to develop and understand what that means. The word foolishness can also mean folly. And that's the attitude of someone that rejects God's ways and wants to follow their own self-centered ways. Now, any of us that have had children know that it doesn't take very long for them to manifest that they are self-centered. That it's about me and what I want and what makes me feel good and what makes me comfortable. That the Bible says foolishness, that folly, that literally means silliness, or that sin nature, as we might call it. That foolishness is bound. That means it's strapped in. It's a part of them. Old Baptist ought to agree with that more than anybody, because that's just saying that your child has a totally depraved nature. Foolishness is bound in the heart. The heart is the very core of them as a person. It's bound in the heart of a child. They're born with it. As much as you may love your children or grandchildren, it won't take but just a little while, a few weeks, a few months, till you will start noticing that nature is there. And it can be cultivated to their destruction, or it could be corrected according to the word of God to their salvation. Amen. He says the rod of correction. Now, first of all, the word rod simply means a switch. We don't say rod today. We say switch, but it's the same thing. It comes from a word which literally means a shoot or small branch. A switch is what it's talking about. A small switch. He says the rod of correction will drive it far from them. You know, this is not something that we can cover adequately in a single sermon. This one verse I'm quoting, and there are many, many verses about this subject in Proverbs, but this one verse needs to be understood by parents. They need to understand how to apply it. They need to understand that my child has this problem, and they will have it for the rest of their life, just like you do. And the sooner it can be subdued, the sooner they realize that when I exercise this depraved nature, there's a stinging sensation. The sooner they learn that that's consistent, they learn that when I exercise this nature, there's a stinging sensation that trains them not to exercise that sensation. You know, now children are not animals. They're much, much more intelligent. Now that can be good and bad, can it? But it can be good in that they can be trained. Have you ever watched how a dog can be trained? You know, somebody that trains dogs could bring their dog to church, and the dog could sit still at the end of the pew and not move until the service is over. But for some reason, we can't do that with children. The Bible teaches us how. That can be accomplished. They can be trained. They can be taught. Then notice what he says. And again, we're just giving you some overview tonight. This is something that each one of these verses, could be covered for a long period of time. But I just want to give you enough that you can see how important this is. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction, not the rod of abuse, the rod of correction will drive it far from them. Look at Proverbs 13:24. You ever had someone tell you, Oh, I love my children too much to spank them. There's one of those lies. Proverbs 13:24 says, he that spareth his rod. Now, this is not someone that neglects it altogether, by the way. This is just someone that's not applying it enough. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. And I want you to know the Bible has some hard language on this issue, but God wants to get our attention. God wants to save our children from destruction. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. You ever seen someone that hates their child that way? The child runs wild, has no respect for the parent. They hit the parent. They're out of control. You know why? Because the parent, according to this verse, hates the child. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. The word betime, listen, the word betime means early in the offense. Early in the offense, not after saying one more time. No, early in the offense. And as often as necessary. You know, you can't say, well, we tried that and it didn't work. Keep trying it early in the offense and as often as necessary. It will eventually work. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 13. Now, I want you to listen to this, the strength of this language. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Now, they're going to act like they're dying, aren't they? I did, didn't you? He said, the rod meaning a switch, and I've made this point many times, you can't, if you use what God prescribed, you can't injure. You sting. They feel like they're dying. But it's not going to hurt them at all as far as injury. He said, if thou beatest them with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. And obviously that's hell on earth. You know, Jonah cried out from the belly of hell. Why did he do that? Because he rebelled. He didn't submit to his heavenly Father, which told him, arise. And when he told him to go and preach to Nineveh, and he went the other way, and he ended up in what he referred to as the belly of hell. David said, though I make my bed in hell, thou art with me. That's the kind of hell under consideration here. A hell on earth. A hell that you wind up in because you will not submit or you've never been taught to submit. I always like to say, if you don't learn to submit to mama and daddy saying no, you will learn to submit to no when you're behind bars in jail. You will learn the meaning of it eventually. Far better to learn it when you're a child. And then look at Proverbs chapter 29. Now here's the positive aspect of it. And again, I'm not giving you enough information, but I'm just trying to give you an overview and maybe cultivate your desire to look at this in more detail and study these verses. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 15 says, the rod and reproof give wisdom. Didn't say the rod gives psychological damage, did it? The rod and reproof there means after you've applied the rod, you warn the child that you can't continue this way. This is unacceptable. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. And I want to say right here that if husbands and fathers love their wives and children like they're all, they're going to take the initiative, they're going to take the lead in the discipline of children so that mama won't be brought to shame. Did you know that? That's been reversed. The fathers used to take the lead in it. There used to be some meaning when mama said, wait till daddy gets home. You don't, that's not meaningful anymore. Why? Because daddy's passive. The Bible says you fathers provoke not your children to wrath. Not you mothers. You fathers provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Oh, Satan will deceive us in so many ways. Satan will say, oh, will you let, Satan will say to the husband, oh, will you let mom stay at home so she takes care of the kids? No, that's not the way it's supposed to be. Yes, she's the caregiver, I understand that. She has a lot of responsibilities to do that he can't do, but he still is the overseer. That is, one of his first concerns when he gets home with work is like what I used to say, is there anything I need to know about what happened today? Is there anything we need to talk about? He says here, he says in 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Now listen to verse 17 though. He says, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. A well-disciplined, well-behaved child is a blessing. An undisciplined, out-of-control child can be a curse and a burden to everyone they're around. You know, one thing I've always asked my daughters when they were pregnant, as I said, well, has anybody come up to you yet and said, just wait? You know, just wait till they're born, just wait till they're 2 years old, just wait till they're teenagers. The world is going to paint a negative picture. The world is going to try to convince you that being a parent is going to be a bad experience, and it absolutely will be if you ignore the Word of God and go by Google AI. It will be a bad experience. But I want you to know, not that I've been a perfect parent at all, but I just know that when ours were young, they were a blessing in general, not a burden. It wasn't a constant conflict. So I hope I've at least given you some scripture that you can consider more further. But especially remember the scriptures I looked at first, that let God be true and every man a liar. The words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, thou shalt keep them, O God, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever.
Thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast. We hope you'll join us again tomorrow when we'll present another message of God's sovereign grace. In the meantime, if you have any questions or would like to contact us, please go to the website at zionpbc.com, where you can subscribe and get email updates every time a new sermon or any announcements are posted. Also, you can contact me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter jchrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast, and may the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.